Man, I'll tell you what, that song got hold of my heart. Hallelujah. Man. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Man. So can you get that stirred up in Sunday school? Oh, yeah, man. Hallelujah. I feel like running out right now. Glory to God. Take your Bible, look at Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. Oh, my. Hope that carries on into Sunday. I mean, the church service. Amen. I'll probably die in the church service. Amen. I feel sorry for people that never had the Lord stir them up.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for you. If you never had God stir you up like, I mean, just get stirred up by yourself. Out there in the field. I remember Danny Chappell talking about his mama. He said he remembers seeing mama out in the field working, and she was planting out in the field. He said he turned around as a little kid. He thought mama was crazy. He said he'd look around. He said mama be out there in the field in the dirt with her feet or her knees in the dirt, and she'd be out there praising God.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what, if you never had that time, my God, man, you need to have it.
Yes, sir.
It'll help you get down the road, man. Yeah. It'll help you make it on. Get in your car, ride around, and put some CD on and sing to the top of your lungs. I don't care what you sound like. In your car, you're by yourself. Ain't nobody cares. And just sing, man, praise God, hallelujah, for what he's done. You say, well, you think God's going to stop me from doing that? Yeah. You think God's not praising? I mean, he's not rejoicing over that?
Yeah.
So how do you know, preacher? You don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid.
Amen.
You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, David sang praises to God out there, man, by himself.
Amen.
You read the book of Psalms, man. You read that and you think, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And David's out there singing to God, and God's saying, hey, angels, hold up. Hold up. Let me hear what he's singing. Why? Because David made a choice.
Yep. Amen.
You make a choice whether you're going to worship God.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. I'm making a choice. Hallelujah. Irresistible grace. Irresistible. That's what Calvinism. Tulip. Irresistible grace, which is, what Calvin taught is that when God's going to save you, he's going to save you no matter whether you like it or not. You're going to be saved. You have no choice in it. You have no opinion in it. You have no will in it or nothing. That's what Calvin taught. That's a lie.
Amen.
That's a lie. And, irresistible grace. That's what this means, that you're incapable of resisting God's grace. Incapable. But I'm going to show you some verses here where it shows you that you are capable of resisting God's grace.
Right.
You are capable of resisting worshiping God. You are capable of turning your back on God. You are capable of not loving the Lord. You are capable of not praising him like you should. And come to church and not have a heart of thankfulness.
Amen.
You're capable.
Yep.
And we all are.
Yep.
We all are. I want to get that out of the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mark chapter 7. And look at verse 9 or 8. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things do ye do. And Jesus talking about, look back at verse 7. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Now, I believe in preaching doctrine. But too much, if you just preach doctrine all the time, then doctrine kills. Doctrine kills. You got to have some spirit in there. When the Bible talks about they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth, if you have no spirit in there, then you're just dead. You're dead. You got to have spirit in worship. You got to have spirit in teaching. You got to have spirit in reading the Word of God. I'm talking about worship, thanking God.
Yeah.
Man, it ought to be something down deep inside you that just like, I remember Dr. Seidler, when I was there, the place would get, and I believe in old-time religion. Some of y'all don't know why old-time religion is. It's old-time religion is praising God and shouting, believing the book and preaching. They even run the aisles, man. And I remember being at Tabernacle. And Dr. Seidler would be up there preaching, and he'd get excited, and he'd get shouting. And I'll never forget Dr. B.R. Lincoln was preaching, and B.R. Lincoln was preaching about heaven. And man, and Samson, like I told you all this story, Samson was sitting on the front row. I used to sit on the front row with Samson when he was a baby. And I'd run the aisles with him. I'd get up and run the aisles back and forth, you know. And I wasn't there one Sunday, and B.R. Lincoln was there. And Samson was sitting on the front row with his mama, and he was 2 years old. And B.R. Lincoln was talking about his son dying, his son was 30-some years old that died and went to heaven. And B.R. Lincoln, ever since after that, he started preaching on heaven all the time, preaching on it. And Samson jumped up, and when he was saying that, without any, you know, wasn't no singing, wasn't nothing. Samson just jumped up, ran down, got in front of the Lord's Supper table, looked up at B.R. Lincoln, went, "Well, glory!" like that, and took off running. And the whole church come unglued. The place come unglued. I mean, women were shouting their hairpins right out of their head. Some of you think, that's crazy. Yeah, I tell you what, that's good stuff. As long as it's in order, man, it's good stuff. Anyway, let's get back to this. I'm stirred up, man. That song stirred me up, brother. That first song, there, brother. Man, Whew, I got to get myself together here. We had a guy come in here one time, and the place come unglued in here. And the guy, you know, he fought in the cage fighting. And he was just a little guy, a little white guy, about that big. He looked like a white Mike Tyson. And he come, I think Uncle Billy called me up. Sarah's dad. Where's Sarah at? Where's Sarah? Right there. Sarah, there's Sarah. Her dad called me up and said, "Alan, there's a guy up here. He fights in the cage fighting." And he said he's a sawed-off dude, but he's a powerful little guy. And he said, he's got a drug problem. He said, "Can he come down there for the revival?" I said, "Sure, send him." So I sent Samson to pick him up. Samson went up to the train station, picked him up. He came in from Connecticut. He came in the house. Samson walked in the house. All this guy had was a little gym bag. It had a pair of hot pants on and a halter top. That's all he had. I said, "Where's your clothes at?" "I ain't got none." All he had was in his gym bag was all his fighting gear. And Samson, when he walked in, he was, "Oh, man, check this guy out." He had a little ponytail. Had a little ponytail back here like that, and it was almost shaved everywhere around. It's a little ponytail. And that guy, some of y'all remember, he came in here, and he got so stirred up that he did a flips all the way down the aisle. Flipped all the way down the aisle one night. And he said, "That's crazy." "Yeah, but I liked it. That was fun." We're talking about irresistible grace. That guy got so stirred up. And I told him, I said, "When you go cut that little stinking ponytail?"
Man.
And he goes, "I ain't got the money." I said, "I got a pair of scissors."
Man.
We cut that thing off. And we did. Cut it off. And got him some clothes. Man. And got him in his right mind. And guess what? He went back to Connecticut and got out of his right mind. That's what happens when you go back to Connecticut. Watch out, guys.
Maybe you should have dove in the bathroom.
Yeah. Where were we? Mark 7, and look at verse 8. "For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold traditions of men, the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." It reminds me when Jesus said to Mary, he said, "Mary, Mary, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about much serving." There's nothing wrong. I like a clean house. I like everything nice and neat. I like that stuff. I like my cars clean. I like that stuff, man. I just like it. And, they said, back in when I first got saved, they said cleanliness is next to godliness. It ain't true, but you ought to have a clean heart but keeping things decent in order. Brother Glenn was telling me he had a family down there in Texas. They just got married, and after 3 months, they had some problems. And Brother Glenn had to go over to the house, and he said, "What's the problem?" And she says, "Well, he's always saying the house ain't clean." And he goes, "Well, looks clean to me. Looks all right." She goes, "Well, preacher," she said, "there's clean, and then there's Sammy clean." And she was talking about her husband. He has it, he's a clean freak. But Sammy clean, that cracked me up. Sound like a new detergent or something, Sammy Clean. verse 9, I'll get back to this. "And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God and may keep your own traditions." People, talking about irresistible grace. You reject the commandments of God that you can hold on to your tradition. That's where religion is today. Religion rather hold on tradition than to keep the commandments of God. And that's what you got in the Seventh-day Adventists and all the rest of them. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 5. Look in John chapter 5. Talking about tulip. John Calvinism. I told you this before. Calvinism, Presbyterians are Calvinists. A lot of Baptists are going Calvinist. I know these guys. Where do I know these guys from? Where do I know you guys from? They're Connecticut?
Yeah.
Oh, they're late. That's why. They're Connecticut. All right, John chapter 5. Where's your Bibles? All right. John chapter 5. Good. I only seen two hold their Bible up. They're passing Bibles down. They're passing Bibles down to each other. John chapter 5. Stir it up. John 5, verse 40. John 5, verse 40. Irresistible. We're talking about irresistible grace and Calvinism. They teach that is, you're incapable of resisting God. You're incapable of rejecting God. You know, if you're a Calvinist, that's what they believe. They believe that only the elect is going to be saved, no matter they like it or not. Verse 40, when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed.
Where are you at, Mark? John 5?
Yeah. Next page.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, I can't even hardly look straight. Woo! John 5.
What'd you put in your coffee this morning?
Hot dip.
Yeah. I was so stirred up even yesterday. 39. John 5, 39. Amen. Search the scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who can tell me in the Bible who searched the scriptures from the Word of God that mentions it?
Didn't James the prophet search diligently to see what was prophesied? Oh, I'm messing it up. But in James he says, the old prophets were searching diligently to find out what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was within them did testify when it prophesied beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Amen. Now, that's a woman that did that. Where's the men at? A man, give me something about searching. They were more noble. To give you a little hint.
Bereans.
The Koreans? North Koreans? Take your Bible, look in, was it Acts? No. Somebody find that where. Yeah.
17:10 and 11.
Acts 17:10-11. There you go. Why don't you read it out loud, Brother Jay? Verse 10.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Amen. Searching the scriptures.
Amen.
Now, if you search the scriptures, you'll know when somebody's teaching false doctrine.
Amen.
When you search the Bible, you'll say, Lord, is this right? And I'll never forget, when I first got saved, I ran into all kinds of stuff. Man, I ran into Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. Why? Because I opened my mouth. I was going around and say, hey, are y'all saved?
Amen.
I opened my mouth. And I ran into everything. I mean, went with the Catholic priests, nuns. I went around with everybody because I was just opening my mouth. I was giving out tracts and try to witness to people. And what happens is a lot of times you get fearful. You say, somebody might ask me something I don't know. Man, yeah, I did that all the time. And I didn't know. But what happened was it made me search the scriptures. And when you start searching the scripture, you'll find out whether things are so or not. And that's what you got to do. And you know what they say about the millennials? They say the millennials are all going away from, you know, the millennials are going away from the Word of God, going away from church and all that stuff. But those that search the scriptures, they stay with it.
Yep.
they'll stay with it. If you search the Bible, you say, well, I'm not going to be a Baptist no more. I ain't going to be this. I tell people, I said, the reason why I'm a Baptist, because the Baptists are the ones that say, search the scriptures.
Amen. Study.
Look at the Word of God. And I just made up my mind. I was going to search. And I wanted to know. And if they're falling away, people, they say there's more Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptists and Jehovah's Witness movement. And whenever they knock on the door and they say, well, I used to be a Baptist, I said, well, you must not have been a good one.
Amen.
If you were a good one, you would have read your Bible. Now, I'm not saying Baptist is the way. I'm saying Bible is the way.
Amen.
But if I'm a Bible-believing Baptist, I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of it. Because if you go to some of these churches, man, you don't know what you're walking into. They got something, you know, Journey on the front. You know, they might be heading in the wrong direction. And I was down in Texas. They got a church down there right by my brother, and he said there's 10,000. And just in the panhandle of Texas, there's another one got 7,000. We rode by that church. I went, good Lord, look at that thing. I mean, it's probably got 115,000 square feet of church. 115,000 square feet church. That's a lot of church. But, and you know what Brother Glenn said? He said he went in there and talked to this guy. He said the guy said all he was the he was a video. He was the video minister. Now we can give Brother Derek the video minister up there. He's giving the thumbs up. Oh yeah, he's doing the cross. But he said what he did, he said they said they have all the lights set up. I mean, all the different color lights and all that stuff. And everything goes on. He said, and then he said what happens is Saturday night, the pastor comes in to do the first show.
Yes, that's what it is.
Really, we got a really big show for you tonight. And some of y'all don't remember Ed Sullivan. And but he said the pastor comes in, does the first show on Saturday night, and then they have X on the carpet where he stands. And he has to stand at a certain place because they set everything up. Everything's got to be just according to, you know, to the system. And he said, well, we want to be professional about it. So he said, we do three shows on a weekend. He didn't say the pastor preaches three times on a weekend. He does three shows. Wouldn't you like to go to the show? Let's go back to John chapter 5.
Preacher, there's a church. James, my friend James's wife's dad goes to, and they don't have church services. They have experiences.
Oh, experience. Well, we could say we have experiences when we come to Faith Baptist Church. Yeah, we have a show too. Yeah, we have it all in one. We wrap it all up in one package deal. You get five things for the money. One for the money, two for the show. Three, get ready. Four, you know. All right.
Irresistible grace.
Yeah. My mind is running all kinds of places. 39. Search the scriptures. Jesus telling those Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Talking about himself. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Now, we're talking about, what does this got anything to do with anything? Because they are the elect. They're the elect. And I believe it's over in Matthew, it talks about the elect going to hell. If a man doesn't get saved, he's going to hell.
Amen.
And look at this. I am come that in my Father, verse 42 or 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Whew. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? You came to church this morning, and the Lord said, you don't have the love of God in you. Wouldn't that be terrible? That'd be terrible, the Lord say, you don't have the love of God in you. You know, I always tell people, I said, look, pray that God put the fear of God in you and the love of God in you. And that you'll have a love for him. You know why we don't do what we do, or we're supposed to do when we do it, when we're supposed to do it, is because a lack of love.
Right.
Always, it comes down to a lack of love for him. In my life, your life, it comes down to that lack of love. But look here, verse 40. He says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, which is the Antichrist, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor of that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accused you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And the reason why, the point about this whole thing is he's talking to the elect. These are Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and they were all there. And he said, man, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You're not. And you know, he said one time in Matthew, he said, the prostitutes are going to go to heaven before you guys. Sure. They were the elect. They were in charge of the holy places. They were in charge of that. And they were, you know, he talking about irresistible grace. If the Lord just changed that whole thing right there. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts 7. I'm starting to get my head together now. Acts 7. Acts 7. Look at verse 51. Or back up to 48. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. That brings up another point. The Most High does not dwell in temple made with hands. He's in you. If the Most High is in you, and we have him, and he's our own, and he can't forsake his own, and we have eternal security, one time or another, it sure to stir you up. You got something that big as God inside you, it should stir you up. It should make you want to think about him. You got somebody that big inside you. And boy, I tell you what, it ought to stir you. Look at what the Bible says in verse 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwell not in temple made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these, ye stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart and ears? Ooh. Do ye do always resist the Holy Ghost? As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them that showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers? He says, who have rejected the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? So here he is again telling the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the people of Israel that you guys resist the Holy Ghost. Can you resist the Holy Ghost? You sure can. Can a saved person resist the Holy Ghost? Sure can. You can resist him. The Bible says, somebody give me a verse on what the Bible says about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody give it to me. Read it. Read it out loud. Anybody got it? Stand up and read it. Go ahead.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed for the day of redemption.
Ephesians 4:30. Right? Somebody else got another one? Check it out. Stand up and give it to me. You can resist the Holy Ghost. Don't do it. Don't do it. It ain't healthy for you. If you're a child of God, it ain't healthy for you to resist the Holy Ghost. He says, he said in Acts 7:51, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You know what? If everybody in this room was, and everybody that came to church was on the same page, brother, I'm telling you what, you see something. You see God moving. You see, we see souls saved. Matter of fact, if everybody was on the same page, we'd just get together and pray a minute and go out and just tear up the town. Amen. All right. Anybody got another verse? Another verse on it. Amen. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Man, don't resist the Holy Ghost. Look in Mark 8. Go back to Mark 8. Irresistible grace, which is a fluke. I believe in grace of God. I believe that. But I tell you what, when you start teaching that, you know, that's what you go. I'll tell you what you ought to do some Sunday. Go to a church that you know that's a Calvinistic, or a church that believes in Calvinism, or a lot of Southern Baptists are going that way, you go to a church and see how dead it is.
Amen.
I mean, it's dead as 4 o'clock. They don't have no spirit in it at all, just dead. And, you know, some people are happy with that. They're just, I had a guy tell me just recently that he didn't like our church because somebody stood up on a pew and shouted. He stood up on a pew and shouted. He didn't like that. I didn't apologize for him. I didn't apologize. I didn't say, well, I'm sorry he did that to you and scared you. No, man. It's stupid. It's stupid. And, you know, they would go to a ball game, and they'd go to a ball game, people would be throwing stuff, cussing and everything else, and they'd sit there and go, man, it was a great time, wasn't it? Mark 8, some people just, they think, well, church ought to be solemn. It ought to be quiet.
That's a library.
It ought to be, you know, that's a library, right? It ought to be where, reverence is taking place. It is reverence if you're worshiping God.
Amen.
Decent and order. Nobody's falling out on the floor flopping around like a fish.
Amen.
Not going, blah, 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 blah. Good night, man. Oh, man. Look at Mark 8. Mark 8, 37, 35. Look back up. 30. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into glory of his Father with the holy angels. Man, what a verse. What a verse. Now, you say, well, ain't much irresistible grace in here. It's just showing you that if you're ashamed of the Lord, but he's still talking to the Pharisees. He's still talking to them, talking about, you know, their choices of exchange with them and how they reason in themselves. Look in Acts chapter 6. Look in Acts 6. Irresistible grace, which is a fluke. Irresistible grace. And when you go along in life, most Christians live like Calvinists.
Yeah.
Say, what do you mean, preacher? Most Christians live like Calvinists because you don't carry a tract. You don't witness to people. You know what you're saying? Just like a Calvinist. You're saying, well, they're going to be saved no matter what.
Yeah.
Somebody else will do it. Or they can't resist God. They'll be fine. Didn't somebody witness to you?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Didn't somebody give you a track? You ought to have a track on you all the time.
Man,
I feel naked without a track. My grandchildren are saying, Papa, you got tracks on you? I say, yep. And there's a couple times, God is my witness, a couple times I didn't have it. I asked God to forgive me. I ask God to forgive me for not having tracks on me, to pass them out. And it's no good, like, who was it that preached, Brother Lee, said when he goes to work or goes out, he said he got tracks, he come back to the end of the day. He said he feels like, and when he took these tracks out, laid them on the table, and said, man, I should have gave them out. I took them with me for that purpose. You ought to put out tracks. If not, you're living like a Calvinist. If you don't witness to people, put out tracks, you're saying, well, they're going to be fine. You know, they're going to be elected no matter what. They're going to go to heaven no matter what. That's what a Calvinist. A Calvinist don't believe, open his mouth that like that and telling people about Jesus Christ. So look in Acts 6. Acts 6. And look at verse 10. Acts 6, 10. Back up verse 8. Stephen, full of faith. Can you be full of faith? And power. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they stubborn men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemy of words against Moses and against God. Moses was always first with the Jews. It wasn't God, it was Moses. And they said, we're Moses' children. And they stirred up the people and the elders and scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. Here they are, good godly men. Set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemy words against the holy place and of the law, not God. They were more concerned about their place and position Amen. Than God. Amen. And Amen. These guys were the elect. The elect. You say, what about the elect? Now take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 11. Let's show you about the elect. Romans 11. Romans 11 shows you about what's going to happen. Now, and I said elect go to hell too. Some of the elect, that's in Matthew 11. Romans 11, 1. I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid, talking about the Jews. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Isaiah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have digged down thine altars, I am left alone, and they seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So here's these Israelites bowing their knees to another god. And they were supposed to worship the Lord thy God and him only. Now, these Jews, they had to take a sacrifice 3 times a year. They had to take a sacrifice. And they didn't. They had to take it to Jerusalem and take a sacrifice, a lamb sacrifice, or if they were poor, a turtle dove or a pigeon, if they were poor, and the blood had to be shed. And it said, but these bowed their knees to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There it is. According to the remnant, according to the election of grace, if by grace, then there's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. She said, what is that talking about? Saying if you can work your way to heaven now in the New Testament, he said these Jews are trying to work their way and trying to do all the sacrifice, trying to take all these things. He said then there's no grace extended. Because they've done it on their own, and they reject the grace of God. And what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, on to this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see. You reject truth. Whenever you reject truth, Doc used to always see this. He said, light rejected becomes lightning to you. Light rejected becomes lightning. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Verse 11. He says, God forbid, for rather through the fall of salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, you say, are they God's chosen people? Yes, they are. Are they elect? Elect, yes. But if they don't trust Jesus Christ now in the dispensation of grace, they're going to hell just like anybody else. They go to hell. They can be the chosen seed of the tribe of Judah, and they reject Jesus Christ, which they did. They'll go to hell. And elected. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid that rather through the fall salvation has come on the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, thou being a wild olive tree, that's what we are, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So what he's saying, we are Gentiles grafted in this tree, and we are unnatural in a sense, being Gentiles, he said, don't boast yourself, because the tree, salvation's of the Jews. Salvation of the Jews. So in the New Testament, after Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church of God. So we're all the church of God. So it says, look at verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. If God spare not the natural branches, take heed that he also spare not thee. Talking about Gentiles. He's saying, if you Gentiles, you think that because God turned his back on the Jew, and the Jews not God's, you know, not saved because of their Jews, they have to be saved like anybody else. He said, don't boast yourself, you Gentiles. But you know what the Bible talks about? Look on down. Look at verse 25. It's going to turn. Everything's going to turn. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Here's the mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part, notice it says in part, has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So when does the fullness of the Gentiles become in? It's when the Antichrist shows up and the rapture takes place. The Antichrist goes on through the tribulation and Gentiles are still being saved, but the Jews start looking towards the Messiah. And as he says, till the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So irresistible grace, you know, this is crazy. They have to call on God. And in the tribulation period, the Jews and Gentiles, they're going to have to endure to the end. You read Matthew 24, verse 13. He that endured the end, the same shall be saved. That's tribulation. They're going to have to endure to the end of what? Tribulation period. Not receive the mark of the beast and all that stuff. So if the Jews, if you believe Calvinism, if the Jews were elect, then they wouldn't have to go through anything. They would be saved no matter what. And anybody that, you know, they're going to be saved no matter what. But that's not true. You have a free will. And your free will determines, you make that decision whether I'll trust Christ or not. But it's important for people to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. So that's why it's so important to get the Word of God in people's hands. Guy, I was out here cutting grass yesterday. Guy walking by, had earphones, and he's running. And he slowed down. I jumped off a lawnmower, ran over there, said, hey, buddy. Give you something, put it in your pocket, read it later. And I watched him go down the road. He's going down the road. As he's walking, he stopped and he's reading it. He's reading the tract. So, like I said, if you don't put out the Word of God and witness to people, you're living just like a Calvinist. Saying, God's going to take care of them no matter what. They're going to, irresistible grace. No, it ain't. It says, for by grace are you saved through what? That not of yourself is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. They have to receive a gift. The only way they're going to know there's a gift there is if we tell them. Amen. All right, Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for just the word of God being clear about the grace of God. My Father, Lord, I thank you, God, that I could have been getting caught up in some false religion. I could have been caught up in Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or some other crazy mess. And Lord, even the charismatic movement, Lord, but you protected me from that. And you protected my brothers and sisters from that. And Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God and it's without error. Lord, I want to thank you for all the many blessings, Lord. And the Bible says much is given, much is required. And God, you've given us much. You've given us a lot. And you require much from us. And help us to do more for your glory and honor. And Lord, help us to keep our, like Brother Lee said the other night, when he went to these other churches, everything was smooth sailing. But when he started coming here, it seemed like opposition. It was everything, opposition. And when we're trying to do something for you, God, there's going to be opposition. And help us, Lord, to remember that. God, thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the opposition. And my Father, to make us stronger. And I pray, God, that we would be stronger in the Word of God and the Scriptures and also in the Spirit and full of the Holy Ghost like Stephen was and power. In Jesus' name, save that soul. Amen. Amen.